back. So, my talk, the name of my talk is No Complaints, and I wanted to start with a song which is called No Complaints Whatsoever. So I'll be singing a chorus and a verse, and then I'm going to ask you to join me on the chorus a couple of times afterwards. And put that on the wrong side of my setup. And I know you'll get it because it's super repetitive. I've got no complaints whatsoever. This one was written by my friends Jan Garrett and G.T. Martin. I've got no complaints whatsoever. I've got no complaints whatsoever. The new day is dawning in my soul. New day is dawning in my soul. Believe it or not, I ain't lying. I'm not trying. Situations that come to you in your life. What this talk about today is about building an inner toolbox to deal with these curveballs and with these ups and downs of our lives. And also to break out of some negative patterns of behavior and of thought that we may have developed along the way. So I've come up with these six tools to put into your toolbox. One is perspective, as in you can look at things from many perspectives. The second is goal setting and taking action. The third is making friends with change, always a good one. The fourth is gratitude. And the newest tool in my toolbox, delight. Did you know delight was a tool? Yes, it could be. And the last tool in your box is community. So I'm going to touch on all of these, and we'll start with perspective. So Desmond Tutu, you all know who he is? He was the Archbishop from South Africa. And he had a long-standing friendship with Queen Elizabeth. As a matter of fact, he also had a long-standing relationship, a friendship with the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama, Desmond Tutu, and Queen Elizabeth walked into a bar. And I don't even need a punchline for that one. Thank goodness, because I haven't come up with it yet. If you come up with one, let me know, because I'll add it to the talk here. Anyway, Desmond Tutu said to Queen Elizabeth, you've been on the forefront of politics, of the world stage, for many years, you know, since you were a girl. At that point, I think she was 80. So over 60 years, she'd been watching these changes in the world. And he said, do you really think things are getting better? Do you think things are changing? And she looked at him and said, what do you think she said?
Yes.
Yes. She said, absolutely yes. She said, when I first became queen, nobody would even say the word racism, apartheid. We wouldn't even talk about it. At least now we're talking about it. We're making small changes. She said, you have to look at the long arc. She said, it's slow, but it's happening. So yes, keep on, keep on, keep on, my dear friend, keep on. And I thought about that a lot when I read that, because, you know, we don't see the large arc sometimes. We see the situations we're in. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. We really don't. You know, we imagine it, we project it. So it has a lot to do with faith, to think of a long arc of time. But this is part of perspective. And I wanted to tell you a personal story about perspective. I spent many years living in between New York City and Key West. In the 70s, you could actually afford to do this. You could keep an apartment in Key West. I think mine started at $65.
Oh.
Yeah. And then my apartment in New York City was maybe $250. Yeah, so, you know, things have changed, but. I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity to live like that, and I was going back and forth, and I just kept both these apartments, and a girlfriend of mine said she needed a place to stay. Could she rent my Key West apartment while I was in New York? So I subletted to her. And while I was in New York, I had some medical issues, and I was at work for a while, and it wasn't an easy time, and I decided to go back to Key West and rest. So I came back to Key West only to find out that she had told the landlord that I wasn't coming back and she was going to be renting the apartment. Yeah, so there I was. And I had renovated the apartment, so I paid very little rent. And before they had even, it was my neighborhood who bought the house. So, when they renegotiated the rent, she was paying them like three times as much. They were a young couple expecting their first child, opening a new business. They really needed that money. So I didn't know what to do. So I stayed with a friend and ran into another friend who said, I'm gonna be out of town on business for a month. Why don't you stay there while you figure it out? So I did. And I was staying at his place while he was doing his business. And instead of being away a month, he came back about 2 weeks later, really angry. And at that time, some of the business dealings in Key West were, let's say, not the most legal. We'll just leave it at that. And anyway, he had a bad experience. He came back, and it was a one-bedroom apartment. So it wasn't that relationship we had. I slept on the couch. He was very angry and very distraught, and I was actually a little bit, more than a little bit, frightened of him. And during the time I had been up there, I had made friends with the man who lived downstairs, just he was a neighbor, and he said, I've got a pantry you can rent. You can picture this. It was literally like a long pantry. It had a bed. And if you lied in the bed, you could put your hands out the two windows. It had some shelves behind it. And it was a place to sleep. So I said, great, you know, $50 a month, I'll take it, you know. And being that you couldn't do more than just sleep in this little pantry, I spent a lot of time in the kitchen, you know, just sitting at the table reading or whatever. And he was a sound man at Sloppy Joe's, and he was working late nights. I was going through some pretty difficult stuff there, emotionally, mentally, trying to sort this all out. Wasn't sleeping very well. And we ended up talking a lot late into the night. building a really strong friendship, which survives to this day. It's 37 years we've been together now. So the conversations did evolve. And I did move out of the pantry. So, you know, this story could have been about a story of betrayal. Could have been a story about even homelessness, because I was really broke at the time and not doing particularly well. And anger. But it's also the story of the beginning of something really wonderful. And I don't know that Dan and I would have started with such a strong base if we hadn't had even just that month to become such deep friends. And over the years, even when we're in trouble, we always have had that deep friendship. So you just never know. You know, that's my own personal experience with trusting the arc, which I didn't at the time. It's funny because the woman has come back into my life, and she started coming to Unity when I was the music director, and she struggled with alcoholism. And to be honest, I don't think she even remembers that she did that. As I was waiting for years for her to apologize, and I held on to that, you know. And finally, I was just like, what's the, you know, who cares? You know, it's done, it's over. You know, I finally let go of it. Man, I spent a long time holding on to that. You know, wasting energy worrying about that when it was like, wasn't even on her radar. You know, she doesn't even remember it, you know. And I'm just glad that she's successfully in sobriety for the last 95 years now. So that's, I'm really happy for her that she's made it that far. Michael Beckwith, the Reverend Michael Beckwith, says, when something comes at you that's really tough, you say to yourself, this is my life, and whatever's coming at me right now, I'm going deep enough within to use it as an evolutionary trigger and catalyst to become even more powerful than I've ever been before. Don't you love that? I'm using this as a catalyst to become even more powerful than I was before. Now, these things are not magic. You know, you do have to put some work into it, and nothing happens unless you actually put some energy into it and take steps to move forward, which takes us to our second tool, which is setting goals and taking action. And actually, the inspiration for this talk came from Edwin Gaines' book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And her second law is setting clear-cut goals. And she talks a lot about having clarity of vision. But she also talks about having a no-complaining fast of... She took personally 21 days to not complain, not a fast from complaining, anger, and gossip. Because what she says is when your mind is clear of this, you can focus with good intentions in your heart and your mind on what you truly want, so you're not clouded by all this other stuff. And then you can figure out how to go about accomplishing it. And it's one of her steps to establishing a clear goal is to fast from negative behavior. So this is a challenge I want to give you. And I'm not going to say 21 days. I'm going to say 24 hours. So not only do we have negative thoughts about like traffic, the weather, you know, the guy who's setting off fireworks late at night, you know, and your dog is upset. But it's also the way we talk to ourselves. So complaining about yourself. So this is what I want you to do tomorrow morning. I want you to stand there and look in the mirror and not complain about anything you see. Just look at it and say, this is it. This is me. If there's something in there that you want to change, figure out some steps to change it. You know, I'm experimenting with learning how to do my hair. it's a process. You know, I started doing a face yoga, thinking maybe that could tighten up my face. You know, instead of thinking, oh, I don't like this aging face, you know, I'm thinking, what can I do about it? You know, it's me, this is me. And it's funny because, you know, we judge ourselves so harshly. We say things to ourselves we would never say to a friend. You know, I had this experience. I stopped in a, like one of those gas station quickie marts and bought some hard cider. And I had to show them my ID. And the woman took my ID and she goes, oh, wow, I wouldn't have expected that. And I thought, you know, I think of myself like people see me so old because I see myself as so much older because I've been watching myself all these years. But a perfect stranger was just like, oh, wow, you know, hey, you're doing great, girl, you know. So it's like perspective, and it's like not complaining about what you can and cannot do, what you see. So here's your challenge. For 24 hours, I want you to look in the mirror, I want you to look out the window, I want you to go through your day, and if you find yourself complaining or angry, just write it down. Catch it. Just catch yourself. You will be so surprised how often this happens that you are not aware of. That was my experience anyway. Perhaps that's not going to be yours, but you may be surprised to find that. And they're like habits. They're habits you've built up from the past. It's like we're habits we build up, like, you know, like that snarky remark of, turn signal is coming soon to your neighborhood. You know, they're like, so can you look at the world and look at yourself without judgment? Even for 24 hours. And if you want to continue it for 2 days, 3 days, 21 days, please do. But really and truly, I really encourage you to try this for 24 hours. And the next tool is Making Peace with Change, subtitle, and the Illusion of Control, which is a whole talk in and of itself. You know, every cell in your body is constantly changing. We all know change is the only constant. However, we hold on to our old stories. We hold on to our identity of ourselves, which is just an accumulation from the past that has graciously dropped us in this moment. Thank you. Here I am. And it keeps going. You're still evolving. That's not the end, you know? So why we think it is, I don't know. But it's not. Change is scary. Big changes are really scary. But it's an illusion to think that things don't change. So making friends with that discomfort. Knowing that when you feel that discomfort, it's good. It means you're growing, you're building new neural pathways. Right? You're keeping your brain young. You're growing. You're evolving. You're becoming more of the incredible self that you are. You know, it's such an illusion, this control. I try and discipline and organize a calendar. I'm sure we all do. It's like, you know, in the mornings I'm going to do my yoga, and, you know, then I'm going to, you know, walk the dog, then I'm going to, you know, work in the garden, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to practice, and, you know, I try and be very organized. And then one week I was teaching a yoga class outside, and like 5 minutes before class, it rained. And then I got a phone call from a bride, so I was, you know, talking to her about her wedding, and I had to go to the computer, and I got stuck in the computer. Like, I was there for like an hour, checking email, doing all this stuff, and all these things I had planned to do for an hour, right out the window. Then I was in this meeting, this peer meeting, where we were going through some yoga, new yoga moves for a class, and we were on Zoom, and my dog comes in and throws up on my yoga mat. All of this happened in 1 week, and it was the week I was doing a talk on change and the illusion of control. It's like, ding dong, get the message? So what do you have control over? I mean, you have control over how you react. I mean, when I say these things now, I laugh, right? Did I laugh at the moment? Maybe not. You know, disgusting dog vomit on your mat while somebody halfway across the country has set aside time for you. I was all a little perturbed. But when I think about it now, it's funny. So why couldn't it have been funny then? It kind of was. I mean, how often does your dog throw up at a yoga mat? Not every day, you know. Yeah, so you can choose. You can choose how you respond. So this is another tool. Another tool is making friends with the unexpected. Making friends, making yourself comfortable with things as they come to you. And one of the things that's really helped me with this is my meditation practice. Because it makes me, in general, calmer. So that when things come at me, I don't blow up. I at the very least, you know, I'm calmer about how I respond, even if I'm not happy about it, which I'm working on. Because after all this stuff, reading and talking, you know, I'm still not perfect. Still working on it, right? It's just all a progress. So, you know, when you stop complaining, what do you have? You have this sincere appreciation, this sincere gratitude. You know, suddenly things look pretty good. So I want to just take a moment here to do a short meditation on gratitude. So make yourself comfortable. Maybe you have both feet on the ground. You can close your eyes or have soft focus. And have your palms up in a receptive posture. And I want you to take a deep breath and feel your heart center. And feel the tingling and the warmth of your heart. And a glowing white light there. Know that this center of your being, this center of light, this center of love is always there. So let's feel some gratitude that we are walking around with this powerful center of love and light within us. It colors what we do. It always is with us. And when we look around in nature, or something happens that we can really appreciate, where do you feel it? Feel it in your heart. And it expands. So let that light and love just expand through your body with a calm and easy feeling of gratitude. And then take a deep breath in. And a deep breath out. Slowly open your eyes. It's good every once in a while just to stop and remember that we have this powerhouse of light and love, and it helps us that to look around and recognize things and be grateful for things. So when you're not complaining about things, you really start to notice things that you are grateful for. It becomes even more apparent. And now I want to introduce my newest tool to you. It's called Delight. On the summer, on the last spring solstice, I was online with Laura Collins, who did this ceremony, and she said, I want you to make a list of things that delight you right at the moment. So I know a lot of us think about gratitude. Some of us have a gratitude journal or a gratitude practice even, or this idea of thinking about specific things daily that you're grateful for is not foreign to us. And the idea of delight is just a little bit different. It's like the other day I was walking the dog in the rain and I saw this black-eyed Susan just like come out of the mist. It was delight. It was just pure joy. And I walked into my house and I had made granola and the house smelled like cinnamon. So it's not necessarily something I'm grateful for, all these things, but it was just a moment of delight. So she had said, I challenge you to an evening write down three things just delighted you during the day. And you know what it made me think? It made me think that we don't take enough time or pay enough attention to having fun, laughing, thinking about things that just delight us, that just make us goofy and silly. And so I wrote a song, of course, called A Time to Be, which is related to delight. It's related to self-love, play. Ourselves in like-minded people who are aware of this spiritual journey, maybe people who love the things you love. You know, we surround ourselves with people to support ourselves, and this is a really important tool to be surrounded by like-minded and loving and positive people. So I encourage you to keep a big dose of community in your toolbox. And it's good that you come here and spend time with each other and appreciate each other and feel each other. It makes a big difference in your week. It makes a really big difference in your life. Because you're not alone. You're a part of this giant puzzle. One heart, one love, one vision. One heart, one love, one vision. Sing that with me, if you would. One heart, one love, one vision. One heart, one love, one vision. Sing me your song and I'll listen. One heart, one love, and one vision. Look in my heart, searching for wisdom. Looking inside, seeking my truth. I see the light. With you, and I hope that this gave you some ideas and some inspiration, and I do hope that you take the no complaining challenge for 24 hours. Thank you.
Thank you.